are probably looking at this and rolling your eyes, right? Tone of voice, the old cliche. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I got to tell you, I really don't like that cliche, right? It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Maybe because I'm a recovering assertive, right? My default type is I'm a natural assertive. I tend to be very aggressive and very direct and make counterparts feel like I'm overbearing. And so in my youth, I had a tendency to hear that a lot. And maybe that's why I hate it so much, right? However, there is some truth to it. And I actually like, there's a saying that they have in the UK and England. I'm probably going to screw it up. But it's something along the lines of basically, you can be as rude as you want as long as you're nice about it. And that's one thing I got to give to Europeans. You know, that culture, I feel like that's one thing that they have on us as far as like when it comes to sarcasm or being very aggressive. And I think a lot of it's based on tone of voice. They have a way to approach those things without us necessarily feeling like as Americans, like we need to pull out our six shooter and take them down. And so how do we use this for our own peace of mind? Well, first thing to be aware of with tone is it's generally going to be an easy indicator of what kind of negotiator you're dealing with. And so we don't have time to get fully into what our three negotiator types are. They are listed in the book. We also have some free resources on the website. We have an ebook on our negotiator types. We also have a one-page PDF that is in chart format. It's really easy to read and digest. It's, for all intents and purposes, it's kind of like a very short Cliff Notes version of what our ebook is. Why is this important? Depending on the type of negotiator that's sitting across from you and being able to pinpoint their type is going to inform you on what your communication should look like. And so these are our three basic types. My natural type's an assertive. The analyst is described as someone that could be very standoffish, sometimes even coming off as cold. However, they love to prepare. They prepare through the years. And then the accommodator is someone, as a lot of you already know, relationship focused. That is paramount. And so why is this important for us? If we can start to recognize the tone of voice that coincides with these particular types, it's going to help better inform our strategy. And then also, it makes us aware of what they want that's actually more important than making a deal to them. And the reality is, all negotiators have something that's more important to them than actually making a deal. And a lot of it is rooted in what their default type is. Don't get me wrong, making a deal is likely a close second. But for this person to feel good about making a deal, the first part has to be satisfied. And so if you've identified their type, it gives you some insight into what that is. For the assertive, what's more important than making a deal is knowing that you understand exactly what they wanted and why, even if you couldn't give it to them. An assertive can walk away from a table and go, you know what? They knew exactly what I wanted. They knew why I wanted it. They knew the implications of what I wanted. They just couldn't give it to me. That's where the assertive comes from. The analyst, what's more important to them than actually making a deal, is confirming the information that they had before they even came in the room was all accurate. I mentioned the analyst likes to prepare through the ears, right? They will prepare until their ears bleed and then walk into the negotiation and think, oh my God, I hope I didn't miss anything, which is funny to me, but I think it's probably because I'm not naturally an analyst. However, confirming the research that they did wasn't for nothing is what's more important than making a deal. They can walk away and say, you know, we couldn't make a deal, but all the research we did was absolutely accurate. We hit all the points. We knew what we were doing. We didn't miss anything. And now here we are. And then for the accommodator, as I mentioned, very relational. They want to have a good relationship more than they want to have a deal with you. They can walk away and say, we didn't make a deal. However, going out for drinks later, We're friends. We're actually, our kids are going to hang out. We're going to have a play date next weekend, right? They can walk away and say those things and feel good having not made a deal at all. And so the tone of voice, assertive, is going to be aggressive, default. Analyst is going to be the late night FM DJ voice. Many analysts do the late night FM DJ voice naturally. It's a telltale sign of who they are. And then the accommodator, more often than not, is going to be that bubbly, friendly, cordial, happy to interact type of person. The one thing to be aware of, the analysts sometimes are accommodators in disguise. And so I won't get into all of those reasons as to why. There's plenty of stuff out there I don't want to bore you with. It doesn't necessarily relate to the confrontational tools of today. But you got to be careful. Tone isn't always foolproof, but it's a great place to start.
Brandon.
Yes.
There's a question in the chat. How do we deal with assertives when we know we can't give them what they want up front?
Great, great question. So, first of all, the number one tool to use on an assertive is going to be a mirror. We talk about rapport and info gathering in the last session. We will go over mirrors then. Why is that good? Assertives have a tendency to talk a lot. They have a tendency to browbeat you with their point of view. They don't like to be interrupted, and it's very counterproductive. Mirroring helps them connect their thoughts together, lets them know you're tracking the whole time, and gives the implication or the understanding that you get it without having to do a full summary or without having to say the words, I get it, or I understand, or please go on. What do you mean by that? You can use the mirror. So, first of all, you have to have mirrored them a bunch. The other part of this is not every negotiation should be turned into a deal. Part of any negotiation is essentially a qualification process. Should I be doing business with you? We talk about in the book, all of you have seen this. No deal is always better than a bad deal. No deal allows you to free up your time and attack the next great opportunity that's actually going to help you. A bad deal will put you through 3 to 5, sometimes I feel bad for some of these people in the corporate world, 10, 12 years of heartache and pain. I got a client right now trying to break loose from, I won't name the company, but wanted to get in bed with them because they are who they are. They have had a year of heartache. And all we talk about in our coaching sessions is how to amicably sever that relationship because they have performance things they got to get done. There's demands that need to be met, and they can't stand dealing with these MFers anymore. And so if you can't give them what they want, maybe that's a good thing. And so not every deal should be made. When dealing with assertive, mirror, you hit the nail on the head before you start laying out demands in the form of I messages or potentially thought-shaping questions. So, caviar, you're probably wondering why that's up there. It's an acronym that we have that is really centered on mindset. I'll give you the quick rundown of what it stands for. Curiosity, accept, vent, identify, accusations, audit, and then remember. The two I want to focus on is the I and the R. I has to do with identify. Your mindset should be, as I'm navigating information and managing emotions, I need to identify their type. I'm going to start with their tone first to help me figure it out. And then the R is remember who the adversary is. Who is the adversary, by the way? If you could throw that in the chat. Who is the adversary in the situation as based on the black swan approach or the doctrine? Actually, let me open the chat up here and see what kind of answers we got. There you go. Thank you, Marcus. You're right on it, man. The adversary is the problem. It's never the counterpart. Never, never the counterpart. It might feel that way. Hence, people are emotional beings. The problem is always the adversary, and it's your job as teammates to come together and figure out how to collaborate to solve that adversary, to solve that problem. Flip side of tone, as Sandy referred to earlier, especially in when using I messages and no-oriented questions alike. Why is tone so important? Because people have a tendency to judge what it's like to deal with you based on how you sound. That was rather aggressive, somewhat unpleasant. You would imagine dealing with me might be difficult simply because of my tone. And if I were to repeat it as tone's important because people are going to judge us simply based on how we sound and make a decision on what it's going to be like to deal with this as a result. Same words, very different tone, very different feel to the reception of that. We all know first impressions are important. Not as important as last impressions, but they're probably second best. People are going to make up their minds about you simply by how you talk. Do you sound like someone that's worth doing business with? The tone is going to be an indicator of that. And so 80-20, rough guideline. 80% of the time we want to be in the accommodator's tone, happy, smiling, friendly, easy to collaborate with. Actually putting a smile on our face helps us control that in the moment. If you get angry and you feel your internal temperature starting to rise, you're going to hate doing this. A quick way to get out of it is to actually force yourself to smile. Sounds stupid. There's a lot of neuroscience out there that actually proves this. And so something to keep in mind, very simple tool. Other 20% of the time, probably is going to be the late night FM DJ voice.